maybe a bad day to ask for a donation, Stephen Esposito, after yesterday's market dip. Did you see that thing coming?
Not to that level, no. How are you, John?
I'm good. You are the president of Yellowstone Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, you know, the move in interest rates, the Fed, the economic data was good. We can't complain. 3.1% GDP, et cetera. But when he decided to go to just two cuts going forward, the market just reacted. But honestly, John, I think it was overdue for a pullback. We had such a big move, and people are just looking for an excuse to take some profits. And I think that's all it was, really. I think that I would look at it that and look at it as a buying opportunity. I really would.
What else does that message, because they always say it's not the number, especially when we know what it's going to be. It's what they say about the number. And they said maybe two rate cuts instead of three. So I wonder how that changes the world anyway. What will 2025 be like different than if we had had three rate cuts?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's just silly to look at a two versus three rate cut, what's going to do. I do think when the Fed funds or in the money market, I should say, when the money market drops below 4% and gets into with a three handle, that I think will trigger money off the sidelines coming into the market. I think a bigger concern is rates going up on the other side for refinancing for commercial properties and businesses, et cetera, that are out there is weighing on the marketplace. Many were hoping they would be able to refi at a reasonable rate, and based on today's bond market, that's not happening today.
What can the Fed do about that?
Not much. I mean, I don't think it's as bad as we think. In terms of the banking system, I'm a big buyer of the banks. I like them. We own a lot of them, have for almost 2 years now, and I haven't really sold any banks. I don't think I've sold any, come to think of it. I think it'll be fine. I'm just now looking at the market as we're speaking and looking at the screen, saying a lot of stocks that I may not have bought a month ago are coming into my buying range. So we have a lot of cash available. We will be buying at this downturn. I'm just trying to decide what day I want to do it. But in terms of what it means in general for the market, no. I would love to see the money market under four, only from a perspective that I said money will come back into the market when you break that 4% psychological number.
Not sure that everybody has the same attitude about that as you do.
Probably not. I'm a contrarian, always have been. That's what I've learned in 40 years. I like to buy them when they hate them and sell them when they love them, whenever possible. Tech has come back down in line. And many of these other companies that are down. Remember also, you're also getting tax loss selling right now too, John. So people are taking some gains and offset some losses, which creates more buying opportunity. This is one of my favorite times of the year to look for bargains is during tax loss selling season. So we're in there sharpening our pencils and looking for those opportunities because I think the economy will do very well next year.
Happy tax loss selling season, everyone. I do think people, though, do like the idea of 4-5% is almost guaranteed income, 4-5% in a very safe investment. And if you're not going to get that anymore, that's what I was alluding to. And I said, I'm not sure everybody agrees if it starts with the three, that's good news.
Yeah, I think it will definitely trigger some money off the sideline, especially since a lot of companies' stock prices are down in the last few days. And there's a lot of companies underneath the radar that have not done well for 3 years that may be attractive going. I can't give you names, obviously,
know,
but we're looking at some charts and there's some companies that, believe it or not, in the last 3 years are actually down. Some household names are lower today than they were 3-4 years ago. You'd be shocked how many of those are out there. Look at the food space, right? And maybe the food stocks. There's so many out there that I'm just now trying to narrow down my list of what I want to deploy capital into.
So a food stock would be Nabisco, something like that?
Well, you can look at any of the food stocks, just on the list from, you know, pick from Kraft. I'm not recommending buying, selling, or holding anything. I'm just saying you look at the General Mills and the Crafts of the world and just that whole group in general have hit some pretty bad streaks in their stock prices. Many of the healthcare companies with the uncertainty over what's going to happen with healthcare, that's creating a lot of opportunity in some of the healthcare stocks. I don't think it's that easy in that area to be changing the rules and changing the entire healthcare system in 6 months or a year. So the panic in that area looks like opportunities. And again, I think the consumer will come back going into the spring and be buying again. Automobile sector is weak. But also, let me add to it, John, Europe and China have not been doing well. And I think that's playing a role as well right now. That's fear.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to borrow any trouble here. I mean, 1,100 points was maybe, if nothing else, just a selling opportunity. I take your point. But one wonders, too, if the new administration's tariff policies or tax policies are going to impact the market. And we just don't know what that's going to be like either.
Right. I mean, and if we keep taxes where they are, I mean, that's a good thing. The fear was tax rates may go up under a different administration. So I don't think that's going to happen. So that's a good thing. But a lot of stocks, again, you've seen some big losses here in the last 3 years in some of the biggest names in Wall Street, because they don't have the sizzle the tech sector does.
Is it your
we're seeing some weakness in that.
Is it your expectation that the Congress will renew the tax break that we are getting that expires in 2025?
I believe they will, but maybe it'll be tweaked. They may tweak it a little bit. But generally speaking, I don't think you'll see rates going up, but who knows? That's one of the problems. You don't know what Congress is going to do. And so we'll just play it day by day. I try to look at the macro picture in one respect, but then I look underneath the surface for companies that just are just so undervalued that you can buy them so cheap, get a nice dividend, and just wait from that standpoint. And what Congress does, Congress does. We'll tweak it accordingly. But
yeah.
There's a lot of cheap stocks out there, even with the Dow at 42,000. There's a lot of cheap stocks.
Stephen Esposito, well, that's less than 44,000, too. Stephen Esposito is the president of Yellowstone Wealth Management in Lake Forest, YellowstoneWM.com. Nice to talk to you today, Stephen.
Thank you, John. Have a nice day.
Bree Fowler joins us now, senior writer at CNET.com. Hi, Bree.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Happy holidays. Woo!
Yay, happy holidays.
There's a handful of folks that are striking here in the Chicago area at the Amazon plant. It's not a factory, what do you call it, warehouse. What's happening nationwide on that?
Yeah, it's workers at 7 Amazon facilities, kind of different parts of the country. They're on strike today. It's an effort by the Teamsters to get Amazon to give them a labor deal. And this is a key shopping period, and this is where they can put the pressure on.
A News Nation reporter was on our station today saying that they really aren't technically Amazon employees, even though they wear Amazon gear and deliver for Amazon. They are, it sounds like, subcontracted and therefore not subject to whatever the terms and conditions are of Amazon employees. What do you know about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these people are contract workers, so they don't get necessarily the kinds of benefits that you would get if you were full time. And then there are questions over whether they can unionize or not. The Teamsters have been able to unionize some people in certain Amazon facilities, but, you know, and others have voted to, you know, kind of start organizing under the Teamsters flag. But even when you look at those workers, this is still a tiny fraction of Amazon's total workforce.
That's what I was thinking. So if you're worried that your Amazon delivery or package isn't going to arrive, it may well. This isn't a nationwide shutdown, right?
No. I mean, this is 10,000 workers. They employ about 1.5 million people. So it's not a huge effect. I mean, maybe if you're a logistics guy in Amazon, you've got to reshuffle some cards today and make sure that things are getting where they're going. I'm sure it's a bit of a pain for them. But, you know, I've seen the van going up and down my street all day today.
You know, when Jeff Bezos is worth $11 zillion, I think it's easy to say, why the hell don't they give these people a little more money? And I've never been able to get a handle on, does it work that way? If the Walmart family didn't have all of those riches, would they actually have more money for their employees? Is that a fair question to ask? And I'll ask the same about Bezos. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the question with business. You know, I grew up in Michigan, and the auto industry was huge, and the workers would strike over, you know, the CEO making tons of money, and they couldn't get a pay raise at all. Or, you know, people would get laid off. It's just kind of, there's a back and forth, and I think that's kind of for economists and people like that to figure out.
It does look, but, right, so even if it doesn't matter, I've had economists say, yeah, it doesn't work that way, but it's still a completely legitimate anger that
right. The
head of the company is making that much money, and somebody else is on some sort of government assistance who's working for them. The Supreme Court is still got this TikTok case, right?
Yeah. And honestly, it's kind of amazing how fast this has made its way through the court system. TikTok is going to be making their case in front of the Supreme Court next month. Oral arguments are scheduled for January 10th, and that could head off a potential ban on January 19th. So we're getting down to crunch time, and it'll be interesting to see which way this one goes.
What's the nature of this case? Like, it's who versus who in this TikTok case. TikTok wants to stay viable in the USA. The government wants to shut it down, right, or turn it off if they don't divest?
Right. Congress passed a law earlier this year saying that TikTok must sell that ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, which is based in China, TikTok is not, must sell off TikTok to a buyer that is deemed fit by U.S. officials. There was a 9-month deadline, and that deadline would fall on January 19th. TikTok has said that it won't sell, and it's vowed to fight this in court, which it's been doing. And the case is now headed to the Supreme Court. It's made its way through the district and appeals courts, and you know this is going to be the final decision.
Well, it'd be pretty amazing if they turn it off in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not so easy to just turn off TikTok. I mean, you could make the app stores take it out of, you know, circulation, but a lot of people still have it on their phones. In reality, it would probably die a very slow death because people wouldn't be able to get updates for the app, you know, and the website would probably go to seed too. So, you know, it's really interesting to see how they might be able to pull this off.
Well, I'm sorry, are you saying that, say, that federal government prevailed, the TikTok app would still work, right? I mean, or would, I was under the impression that suddenly that app would go dark on your phone. That doesn't happen?
No, I mean, the government can't reach into your phone, at least as of now, and take apps off of it. It can make Apple and Google stop distributing it, and it can stop patches and things like that from going out and updates. But if it's on your phone, you know, they can say, you know, maybe you shouldn't have it on there and you should delete it. And honestly, it's eventually going to become just too buggy to work, but it won't technically go away overnight.
Hmm. Happy holidays, Bree Fowler. We always appreciate your expertise on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
The next topic on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the holiday office party, which SNL had something to say about on Saturday.
You've been working hard all year. You've earned some time off. But first,
the most insane event of the year, your office Christmas party. 60 employees, 7 interns, all going hard in the same space they were working in 15 minutes ago. It all kicks off at 5:45 p.m. when your drab, boring office is utterly transformed into your same drab, boring office, but with a few lights turned off.
Woo!
With music by Jason's laptop, as soon as he can figure out how to pair a speaker with it.
It says it's on. It says Bluetooth is on.
With appearances by the shy girl from marketing who has one drink and reveals too much about herself.
I actually make more on OnlyFans than I do here. It's just feed stuff.
Oh, well, in that case, it's no big deal. It's 12:36 on WGN. To talk a little bit about the status or the state of the holiday office party, Kelly Maria Corducci joins us now, a journalist and author whose work focuses on work and technology and culture. Kelly, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Did you see that bit on SNL Saturday night?
I did not, but I was laughing just now listening to that description. It actually highlights one of the points that I mentioned in my article for Business Insider about holiday parties. About what not to do.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the lore of these things and maybe why these things we feel like got canceled. You write at businessinsider.com a little bit about this. Although actually in reading your story, it wasn't just that people were drinking too much. It was there were economic reasons. Maybe the holiday office party took a shot too when the hashtag Me Too movement became a thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting to see how the office holiday party has kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. And certainly cultural events like Me Too have had an impact. The immediate aftermath of Me Too kind of had people rethinking the logistics and HR violation implications of getting people boozed up after work together. But yeah, also, you know, the pandemic had a huge impact, obviously.
Yeah.
Very, very few companies had holiday parties in 2020. And yeah, we're in an interesting sort of rebounding moment.
Right. Well, those are some of the challenges to that cultural event. You say it is rebounding. What percentage of companies say they're going to have a Christmas party this year?
You know, I forget the exact percentage, but we're really trending up. Like I said, it's an overwhelming majority, and we're actually kind of back to like pre-Me Too numbers, or very, very close.
Yeah, so actually, I've got your report right here. It says with inside of the 80% reported in 2016, parties are now 65% of companies surveyed said that they plan to host in-person parties. So it's coming back to the 80% that you saw, say, in 2016. I noticed that they're not saying 2019 is the benchmark, but 2016, 65% of companies are going to have Christmas parties this year. That strikes me as a lot.
It is a lot. It's a significant proportion, for sure.
And have the parties changed? Or I noticed the headline in your story was company holiday parties are coming back, and that's good news for Gen Z. Why do you single out Gen Z there?
Well, that's a great question, and there are a few reasons, actually. The main reason being that Gen Z has come of professional age in this hybrid and remote work era. So, you know, a lot of Gen Z kind of, you know, knowledge workers really haven't had that much face time in person with their colleagues. And so they're starting out their careers and learning skills, you know, kind of virtually, and really not getting a chance to build those kinds of casual kind of drop in and say hi mentorship relationships with their older, more seasoned coworkers. So holiday parties aren't necessarily, you know, a way to completely solve that problem. But they do sort of create this opportunity to, you know, commiserate or celebrate together, you know, depending, and to just kind of have these conversations with people that they might not really get a chance to see in person.
Well, I got that feeling. I was at a restaurant not that long ago, and at this crowded restaurant, a office party was going on in like an ante room, like one of the private areas at the restaurant. And you could tell that people were like really excited or surprised to see each other, maybe once a year, maybe never before. It was almost like a meet and greet as much as it was an office party, but it seemed to have some real value that way. And I guess that's just a function of remote work these days, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, remote work and hybrid work have many advantages. And actually, the research on whether remote workers are more kind of alienated or less productive or all these things, it's really up in the air. There's been no conclusive data to suggest that being in an office is markedly better for forming relationships and for forming, you know, for all the good things that we look for in a work situation. But that being said, workers across the board and across generations are reporting higher rates of loneliness right now. And, you know, part of that just comes down to the fact of organizations deprioritizing these social connections and hosting regular events for people to get together and talk to each other, or even virtual events. So a holiday party is really kind of like a perfect opportunity to either get into that ritual or as a capstone for that ritual that's happened throughout the year. So it's actually arguably a pretty important thing to do. And especially for the younger generation who are just beginning to build their professional networks.
Right. I can imagine if you just got a job at Company X and you're really happy about it, but now you're still in the bedroom with the computer and you're Zooming and emailing and you just don't have an esprit de corps and you don't get casual guidance that you might otherwise if you were all in the same building. I could see how you would feel not only a little lonely, but you might not have the concern for the team or the company that you would otherwise were you working, say, in the building with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's really something to be said for just, you know, talking to somebody, having a casual conversation that doesn't even necessarily have anything to do with work.
Right.
With older and more experienced people who can really, you know, teach you a lot about not just doing the job, but also being social in a professional environment, which is not necessarily something that people just, you know, come out of the box knowing how to do. It's sort of something that you learn over time and through exposure to these kinds of events.
Maybe this is something I'll ask my listeners at 312-981-7200. I wonder what those parties are like now. If two-thirds of you are experiencing holiday office parties, what's it like? Is it boozy? Is it not? Is it lavish? Is it generous? Or is it very, you know, careful, conservative, and curated? I wonder what the parties are like these days.
Yeah, I wonder too. You know, there has definitely been an uptick in office holiday parties happening at the office. Very much like that SNL skit, which yeah. made me laugh.
Yeah.
This has been a growing trend in the last few years. Even pre-pandemic. Hosting parties in the office kind of after the workday at like 5:30 on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. Workers who have been surveyed tend to actually be enthusiastic about this approach. They like just being able to roll out of their desk chair and roll up to like
it is
the
convenient
whatever
that way.
Party table.
I guess so. I'm already yes. here and I don't have to. But you also noted in your article that plenty of people say, okay, I got a better idea. How about a check? How about you just bonus me money or time off, which is, I guess, maybe a consideration that some employers either don't want to give or can't afford. Maybe the office party is cheaper than hiring temps, shutting down, or giving people days off. It's all detailed in a Business Insider story. Company holiday parties are coming back, and that's good news for Gen Z. Kelly Maria Korducki joining us today, a journalist and author there. Nice to talk to you, Kelly. Thanks for your insights.
Yeah, great speaking with you. Thanks for having me on.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Here's more news from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A new lawsuit accuses several food companies with Chicago headquarters of knowingly making addictive products that cause illnesses like diabetes. Kraft Heinz, Conagra Brands, Mondelez, and Kellanova are among the companies named in the lawsuit, which also alleges they specifically targeted children. The plaintiff is a Pennsylvania man who says he developed type 2 diabetes and fatty liver disease because he frequently ate products made by the companies. He accuses the companies of predatory profiteering. Mondelez makes Oreo cookies and Kellanova makes Pop-Tarts. Nestle USA, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Kellogg, General Mills, Post, and Mars Wrigley are also named in the lawsuit, according to Cranes. The companies have not responded to the lawsuit, but a trade organization that represents the packaged foods industry says the companies deliver safe, affordable, and convenient products that adhere to FDA standards. The merger of Riverwoods-based Discover Financial Services with Capital One has moved another step forward. Capital One says it has received regulatory approval from the state of Delaware. Capital One says the deal will be completed early next year. The $35 billion merger would create one of the biggest credit card issuers in the country. It faces several more regulatory hurdles. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's our Business of Food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And today we're going to talk about the business of food commercials. I'd like you to meet Ashley Hsu.
I'm 22 years old, and Taco Bell reached out to me instead of a production company to film them an actual TV commercial.
More about her and her Chicago roots after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at Chevy Drive. Chicago.com. I've got a Northwestern grad on the phone.
Yeah, my name is Ash Hsu. I am a freelance videographer and a content creator.
That was not supposed to be her career.
I was pretty set on becoming a software engineer.
Ash grew up in the Bay Area where nearly everybody around her, including her dad, were in that business.
And then somewhere in high school, I just did a complete 180. I think I took like an AP computer science class and I was like, this is really not for me.
And then
I watched Inception,
the Christopher Nolan film starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
And it genuinely changed like how my brain functioned. And I was like, wow, if I could do this for the rest of my life, that would be awesome.
So she started making films, commercials about products who didn't ask her to, nor hire her, nor pay her. But she developed a following on YouTube and started getting paid for her work. And then earlier this year, Taco Bell dropped into her inbox asking her to send a pitch.
Food is definitely my favorite. So right off the bat, it was very much down my alley and I was immediately excited about it.
The timing was a little bad. She was on a trip to Europe at the time.
I think I wrote the entire thing up on a bus.
Taco Bell loved it. Said, let's do it. Let's shoot the commercial in your New York City studio where she had moved after graduating from Northwestern. Well, her studio,
which of course is in my apartment,
which she shares with two roommates,
and being in a New York City apartment, there is really not a lot of space.
Taco Bell booked time at a real studio, brought in a food stylist, and hired a voiceover guy. And this is how it turned out.
On three, two, one.
You are now craving slow roasted, fresh, zesty, oh, and saucy too, which is good news because the Cantina Chicken menu from Taco Bell is here to stay.
That's the creation of 22-year-old Ash Hsu, spelled X-U. You can find her entertaining videos on YouTube and elsewhere. On the food calendar, today's National Oatmeal Muffin Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Dina List joins us, Executive Director of ElderWorks. We have a couple of minutes, but let's just at least make people know what you all do at ElderWorks. Dina, welcome and thanks for joining us. How are you?
John, thank you for having us. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. ElderWorks is a non-for-profit organization, and our mission is to provide advocacy and education, aging counseling, and coordination for seniors and their families to navigate everything from senior living to home care, to all the supportive services while providing education and guidance so that our seniors in Illinois can age well at home or transition successfully into a new senior living opportunity.
So if my family's contemplating mom and dad's elder care, then where do we go for resources? Who can help us make decisions? Who can give us resources for the services they're going to need, right?
Right. So it's all about purposeful aging and helping the older adults, we want to be here, whether they're planning for a future need, which is always the thing we want to see the most as people are planning, or if they need to make an immediate change. We're just one phone call or a click on our website away for the complimentary assistance and guidance so that they can navigate the system better to find what is best for a senior.
Yeah, it's such a maze for, say, those adult children that are trying to figure this out for the first time, and there you are with a lot of the guidance. And you said that if you are seeing mom and dad or grandma and grandpa for the first time in a while, you should kind of look around and see how they're managing daily tasks. How clean are they? How well are they managing their lives, right?
Yeah, so the holidays, we see a lot of families reach out to us, but it's when they're seeing their loved ones over the holidays, because life is busy for a lot of people and a lot of connections are made over the holidays. And so, looking around your loved one's environment, how their environment looks, how they look, are they managing their self-care and their daily
meats? Are they cooking? Different things like that. If you can see that they are a little bit more forgetful, or if they just seem a little bit more withdrawn, mm-hmm. that allows for time to have more of a conversation with them. And be open and honest and ask those thoughtful questions.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have been to that movie or are planning on going to that movie. And it's nice that there's this. And then you go, now what do we do? Now where do we go? Go to elderworks.org, ELDERWERKS. So a bunch of E's there, elderworks.org. And you can find these resources. I'll also mention that you folks are doing a holiday food drive to support local food pantries and holiday gift basket raffles. It's also a special guide of resources that help caregivers and families find what they may need. I presume the details are on your website there, Dina?
They are on the website. We have made our food drive almost an everyday type of thing because there is such a need.
Yeah.
And our holiday basket auction, I'm happy to say, closed yesterday. It was a successful fundraiser for us being a non-for-profit. But on our website, they literally can go to a resource, and our digital version of our Illinois Senior Resource Directory is there, and they can flip it like an actual book, but digitally on the computer. And it has all of the resources that we could put together for the state of Illinois.
Wow.
It also has federal and international, every resource that we could put together. It is there. The one that is on our website right now is the 2324. And soon to come is our 2526. So that will be out and available soon.
Elderworks.org, E-L-D-E-R, works, W-E-R-K-S.org. Dina Liss, nice to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, John. Have a good holiday.
I know this site. It's very helpful.